Okay, I believe we are live now. Excellent. Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Greg Larkin, and I'm one of your hosts of the Mile 99 interview. Jessica can't join us tonight, so I'm going to be flying solo. We've done this before, so I'm sure everything's going to go great. I think technically we're sound so far. And just to let you know, the Mile 99 interview is a place to hang out with like-minded folks in our running community. This is the place to share stories, successes, and our not-so-successful things, too. It's also the place to get the latest in local race news and to find out where to volunteer. So let's get right into the race news. Well, first of all, I will say I am going to be participating in the Rattlesnake Dick 50K coming up this weekend. So pretty excited about that. Actually, a friend of mine, Max, who lives near me, he's also going to be doing it, and it's his first 25K race, I believe. And so he's excited. I'm excited for him. We're looking forward to a nice day out there. Martin Sengel puts that on, affiliated with North Fork Clothing, and it's their first inaugural Rattlesnake Dick 50K. So pretty excited. It's sold out. Great turnout. So we're hoping to see a lot of people out there. They do need volunteers. So if you can volunteer for that, go check them out at the event page on ultrasignup.com. And I know they're still looking to fill a few spots there. Other than that, we've got some other races. We've got the Falcon Lake or Folsom Lake Falcon Crest Trail Run, half marathon down to 5K distances, and that's going to be held in El Dorado Hills this weekend as well. We've got the Placer Trail Running Festival coming up, put on by our friends at the Bad Luck Running Club. That's going to be in mid-April, April 13th. Lots of stuff going on in April. Napa Valley Endurance Run, 50K down to 10K distances on April 14th out in Calistoga. I was just out there this past weekend. That's a great area to run out there. I can't wait to get back. Beautiful, beautiful area out there. Lots of good stuff. And I believe there's a Broken Arrow Sky Race Marin Headlands training retreat. Is that right, Ethan?
Training run, yeah,
Training
coming up
run,
on
yep.
April, yeah, coming up on April 20th.
The 20th. And we'll get to Ethan here because he's very familiar with all this. And then we're going to be getting into some, like different distances. We got like 5K races, 10K races, things like that. There's an Old Town Sacramento Find Your Way 5K, 10K, April 27th, Sacramento area or Sacramento downtown. And of course, Canyons, April 26th and 27th. That is our big race, in April. I'm going to be also doing the 100K there, so I'm hoping to get myself in shape. I got a few weeks to go, but I also want to talk about a couple of new races that we just found out about, and those are the April 27th, 28th weekend. Also, same as Canyons. If you're not in Canyons, there's a new thing being put on by the Salmon Falls 50K organizers at Clipped In for Life called the NorCal Trail Rally. It's like a whole weekend thing. You've got a 6-hour mountain bike race on Saturday, and you've got a, let's see, we've got different distances running 10Ks, half marathon, down to 5K trail races on Sunday. Hey, there's Jessica. And so you can do like team things. You can do solo categories. They're going to have a movie night on Saturday. There's camping. And this is all going to be something you can find at trailrally.com. So definitely check that out. That sounds like a new fun thing. And then our other friends, Ben Mitchell over there at Skybreaker Racing, he is going to be putting on a Backyard Ultra. And they are going to be doing this over in Rio Linda. We're by McClellan Air Force Base, if I remember correctly. And that's not too far away, down in the Sacramento area. And that thing is going, hey, Jess. There she is. All right. Late edition, but we're welcoming you in. Thank you for joining. All right. And so, Ben kind of put on a little demo event last year to kind of get the feel for running a Backyard Ultra. I got this thing up on Ultra Sign Up now, May 11th, Badass Backyard Ultra. And you all know maybe from hearing me, I did another backyard last year with the Bad Luck Run Club over at Folsom Lake. I like the format. I've done a few virtual ones as well. I don't know if I don't think I'll be doing the one in May because I do have a race in New Hampshire the following weekend that I probably don't want to blow myself out for. So, but if anybody wants to try that format, definitely check that out. So, plenty of stuff going on. And as we are getting into it here, I also just want to give a little shout out to Cthulha. Cthulha is a sponsor of ours, and they started with us last year. We joined together, and we're very excited about their... Oh, I think I'm hearing... Okay, sorry about that. I was getting some feedback because we have some music practice going on in the background. Hey, we're live, right? So, you know, maybe a little clarinet accompaniment, or I think we're going to get some electric guitar here in a second. So, sorry, let me start over with Cthulha. And Cthulha has been great. We've been working with them since last year. And they have been helping us out, and we've been promoting their products, and I've used their products before we even started this whole thing. I've used them for about 10 or more years now, starting back in New England. Micro spikes, they were my go-to for any type of winter traction that I needed. You get out there, you can put them on easily on and off your hiking boots, your running shoes, whatever. They now have nano spikes also that are maybe a little less aggressive, but great for running on, you know, slippery surfaces. And they also have gaiters. And we used those to great success last year in a couple different races. And they are great for keeping out that decomposed granite, any type of debris out of your shoes. Keep your feet nice and in good shape so they don't get abraded by anything. So Cthulha, thank you very much. We really appreciate you. And if you would like to try Cthulha, please go visit their website, khtoola.com. They have a full range of products there. And we have a discount code, themile99. And you can get free expedited shipping if you use that with your order at cthulha.com. Thank you, Cthulha.
Hey, I love Cthulha so much. And I had a couple people reach out this last week asking me about, you know, like my real life experience using them. And yes, we do use them. I have forgotten my gaiters a couple times on longer runs, and I regret it every time now. It's just so easy to use, big, nice zippers on them. I can't speak to the micro spikes or anything like that, but we really like the product and the company behind everything. So yeah, thanks so much, Cthulha. Tonight, we're so excited because we have, for the very first time, someone from Broken Arrow. We have the co-RD, Ethan. This race that boasts the tagline, "Where the mountain meets the sky." This is not a race briefing, but a deep dive into the character and development of the iconic Broken Arrow race series. Please welcome to the show. Welcome, Ethan.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, nice to have you. I'm so thankful you decided to come on. I've been to Broken Arrow before, and it's changed over the past, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, Eight. Like so much towards the good. So we're going to talk about that. What we're going to talk about a little bit first is the backstory. So where did Broken Arrow start?
Sure. So, you know, I think to really tell the story, we have to go back a little bit before that and sort of how I came into the sport. So I started running ultras in 2002. A friend of mine called me and said, "Hey, do you want to run the San Francisco Half Marathon?" I was like, "Are you nuts? I haven't run more than a mile since middle school. I will literally die." But I was bike racing and skiing, and she convinced me that this would be a good idea. So I ran that. We won't comment on the fact that she didn't show up, but in any case, yeah, no, terrible. Got stood up. Anyways, a couple days later, I saw a documentary about the Western States 100, and I said, "I'm gonna do this." And so I got on run100s.com, which anybody who's been in the sport for a little while, or even if you haven't, should definitely check it out, because it's like the Craigslist of ultra running. It's quite an old school website. Anyways, long story short, ran my first 50 miler 10 weeks to the day after I started running at the Dick Collins Fire Trails 50, because that's a good idea. Qualified for Western States. Back then you had to run one 50 mountain 50 in under 10 hours or 3 under 12. Got in my first try and ran Western States 11 months to the day after I started running, because again, really good idea. Spent 3 weeks on crutches after that. But that year, I started the first professional, the first professional trail running team in the U.S. for a shoe company, VASC. And yeah, that's, you know, that is 21 years ago. So I've been in the sport for a little while. Brendan, so to answer your question, Brendan and I met at the Outdoor Industry Trade Show, Outdoor Retailer in Salt Lake City in, I think, 2015. And it was the year that he was being awarded the Outdoor Industries Retailer of the Year Award. So his store, Alpenglow Sports in Tahoe City, you know, widely respected as one of the top outdoor retailer stores in the country. And he and I just kind of hit it off. I was running a sports marketing agency at the time, representing athletes, working with a number of brands, really around this idea of building community around brands. And we just kind of immediately clicked. What we have tried to do with Broken Arrow is, you know, we tried to take some of what we really admired about the mountain running scene in Europe, which is super gnarly, you know, courses in amazing locations with great visuals, you know, really competitive. We're part of the World Mountain Running Association World Cup. We're part of the Golden Trail Tour, North America Tour. And, you know, I mean, we offer $60,000 of prize money. That said, we wanted to blend that with what originally drew us to the sport, which was, you know, the way that we talk about it is the culture, traditions, and values of trail running in the US. And, you know, as I said, I came up in the early and mid 2000s running ultras. And the example that I point to is Scott Jurek, right? Scott would run and win Western States in 15 hours and then post up at the finish line, lying in a sleeping bag, cheering on literally every single runner for the next 15 hours. And that really left an impression on us. And so that was what we were trying to replicate. We always say that, you know, at the Broken Arrow Sky Race, we don't care if you finish first or last, you're a rock star. We send runners out onto the course, yarding on a gigantic Swiss cowbell that we were given by one of our participants in year two, or I think it was year two. And then we ring the cowbell for every finisher as they're coming back in. And so the standard that we hold ourselves to, and the question that we ask ourselves as we make every decision related to the race, is, are we living up to that ideal? Are we creating an environment where every participant, and then their family and friends and so forth as well, really feel like they're welcomed and honored and so forth at the event? So yeah, that's kind of how it came into being. We have 8 different events. We have the, let's see, the BK. We have the 11K. We have the 23, the 40, 23K, which, as I said, is part of the 23 and the VK are part of the World Mountain Running Association World Cup. We have the Iron Face Challenge, which is a combination of trail running and climbing up Via Ferrata, which is some sort of semi-technical rock with harnesses and helmets and the whole 9 yards. And then we have the Iron Challenge, which is the Iron Face Challenge plus the 23 plus the 46 and the Triple Crown, which is the VK, the 23 and the 46. And then we have the best part of the whole weekend, the kids race. It is the most awesome thing. Everybody agrees. It's super cool. It's everything from kids in front packs all the way up to my now 12-year-old 6'3" nephew.
Kid's a kid. Under 18, come on out.
it looks super ridiculous, if I'm honest, because he does look like he's about 30. But anyway.
I mean, that's like quite a bit above me, but a kid at heart, I love it so much. But you couldn't have, I mean, when you were, has this always been the plan? When you were envisioning the Broken Arrow Sky Race series, like, usually people go, okay, I'm going to do one race. I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to have a 50K and a kids run or something, but you have created so many facets for people to travel through when they're coming down, from, you know, staying there to having a race to after. Like, has that always been the vision, to really give something for everyone?
You know, I think the thing that is key for us, and I hope it's part of what has, you know, helped the race grow so dramatically. And as I said, we've got 2,600 athletes registered already and a waiting list with, across the various races, probably about 1,500 people on those. Is that, you know, we were not just wanting to create a race. We were trying to create an experience for people. And so the weekend has always included music and, you know, group runs and, you know, poster signings and educational sessions and things like that. So we've really tried to create a variety of ways for people to plug into the event. That was from day one. Now, that said, a couple of odd admissions. One is, so in year one, we had the VK, we had the 20, at what was at the time, the 26K and the 52K. And the next year, we, it's either the next or the following year that we added the Triple Crown. And the funny thing about that is, and I've run 75 ultras, I've run 300s, whatever, that's not the point, but I should have known better. Because what I said when we came up with this idea is, nobody will be stupid enough to do that. The VK, that's one trip to the top. The 52K with two trips to the top, and the 26K, like over one weekend, that's four times up to the top of Palisades. Nobody will want to do that. It sold out in 15 minutes this year. So what the heck did I know, right? You know, and then the next year, I think it was year two that we added the kids race. And it was funny because Brendan was like, oh, God, we've already got so much. Are you sure? I said, yes, we have to have a kids race. All right. You and Emma take that on. The funny thing was that our kids race is quite stout. It is doable. It's not, but it was funny because we had mapped out the course. And then my wife is a very experienced ultra runner, four-time runner-up at Western States, shows up the day before the race and says, hey, let's go walk the course. And my plan was to take the kids up the entire first pitch of the VK.
Wow.
and she starts walking up, and there's like rebar and so forth sticking out of the ground. She's like, are you out of your mind? You can't take four-year-olds up this. I was like, so in any case, long story short, we rerouted it, designed a new course on the fly, but we now have this really, it's challenging, but it's doable run for kids. And we, as I said, we get everybody from two-year-olds running it themselves, parents running alongside them up to early teens. So it's we've always tried to create a whole weekend experience for people.
Well, and I you just admitted something without even probably meaning to, and it sets the precedent that you are very open to feedback and being adaptable to those around you. You could have been like, no, this is the path. This is the kids race, and this is what you're doing. But you're like, oh, let's make it better.
And well, let's be honest. It was my wife. You know? It was my wife providing that feedback. So that,
right, you know. Totally. Oh, you're like, yeah, I'm going to change it no matter what. Yes. Absolutely. But I mean, jokes aside, I really think we are laying the foundation of kind of the morality of where the Broken Arrow Sky Race series kind of is coming from. And I think it's really beautiful. The one thing that I was kind of wondering is, when did you meet Brendan, the other cohort?
Yeah. So there's actually three of us. There's Brendan, there's me, and there's Jeff Quine. Brendan and I met in 2015 at the Outdoor Industry Trade Show. And so, yeah, the first year I was a consultant, and the second year I came in as a partner into the race. And yeah, we've been working together and, you know, having fun with this ever since. I mean, I was telling Greg before we started that I don't think when I was running races, I necessarily understood what it is that race directors put into. Yes, I can honestly say that after 3 days of race directing on Broken Arrow weekend, I am literally more physically destroyed than after running a hard 50 miler. Just physically.
Yeah.
Absolutely throttled. So yeah, that's when we met. And like I said, we've been having fun with it all along. And, you know, like I said, it's easy. Given that we tend to, like we say, we come from a similar perspective. Mm-hmm. Brendan is by nature a community builder. You know, I don't know if he wants me talking about this, but I'm going to say it because I think it's amazing. Over the last bunch of years, Brendan has raised literally millions of dollars through Alpenglow, through Broken Arrow, et cetera, through his winter film series and other events, but literally millions of dollars for the Tahoe. For local nonprofits in the Tahoe area. And, Yeah, I just have tremendous, tremendous respect for him. Couldn't ask for a better business partner in this respect.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I've been a big fan of the Winter Speaker Series for years now. And during the pandemic, it was great because they started putting them on Zoom and they've continued to do that. And for people like us who can't necessarily drive up to Tahoe like on a weeknight to see somebody speak, even though I don't do some of the sports that the speakers talk about, it's always inspiring to hear their stories. And like you said, the amount of money, like I buy raffle tickets, even though I'm just watching on Zoom, it's so good because they have a selected charity of some sort, like for every night they do it. And like you said, they raise so much money. So yeah, as a community builder and kind of like being very tied into that community, he's done an amazing job. So what a great co-RD to have involved with this race.
And you know, I mean, there's a couple of other things. I mean, every year we are constantly thinking about new ways to improve the event. You know, as I said, every decision that we make, every single one comes back to this question of, you know, does this align with our values? Does this live up to that? We don't care if you're first or last, you're a rock star motto of ours. And so, you know, like I said, it's an interesting thing because on one hand, you know, we have 60 grand in prize money. It's a World Cup event. It's super competitive. And so sometimes it's difficult to make sure that we're doing that. But I think we've managed to find a pretty good balance in that. And, you know, there's some little things that we do to that to address that. I mean, you know, things like making sure that at least in the 23K, we are holding the awards ceremony after the last finisher has finished. Little things like that make a huge difference. I have, you know, when I was running competitively, I had a few podiums. I did reasonably well. But I've also run races with my brother, who's 6'6 and not really built to be, which explains the 6'3, 12-year-old nephew. But you know, he's not fast. And he and I have run races together and I've finished at the back and experienced what it's like to have them packing up and putting away food and so forth as you finish. Like, you're psyched to accomplish this thing that is no small feat, but there's no way there. And that was an experience we never wanted people to have, a broken arrow.
Like, gives me chills because I'm at a phase in my life where I am running slower and just happy to be out there and closing aid stations down. And I'm not meaning to, but I'm just a little bit slower than I am. I'm getting the most bang out of my buck for my races. And it really means something that, you know, I've been at races where there's been nothing. And then there's been races where the volunteers don't feel, and that comes from the top down. They don't feel like they're in a rush. There's still plenty of supplies, you know? So we feel it. I think back with Packers, we feel it all the way. What a difference that can make for our whole day. Or someone who's just not having their best race day, but still like trudging along, you know, you're already not feeling great that you had a different day than expected. And so I think that means a lot to people, and it makes the intensity of your event doesn't change. Broken Arrow has had to reroute things the day of because of weather often. And there's been snow steps made out of the fresh snow that's coming down.
So hey, the guys that rig our course, because as you well know, we have got some airy exposed spots on the course. And of course the Skyway to Heaven ladder, which is a 30-foot ladder up to the top of Washishu Peak. But the guys that rig our course actually guide Mount Everest for a living.
Wow. Wow. That's crazy. And how long have you known, do they live in this area? Do you contract them in? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's Alpen Glow Expeditions. They're based out of Olympic Valley. They've been great partners to the race. They're the operators of the Tahoe Via Ferrata that we use in the Iron Crown race, et cetera. So they've been wonderful partners and we're incredibly lucky to have them involved with the race. Their owner, Adrian Ballinger, I can't remember how many times he's climbed Everest now. It's like 8 or something. He and his partner, Emily Harrington, one of the top woman climbers in the world, have both run Broken Arrow on a number of occasions. And I think the point that I'm trying to get at here is that it and it takes a village. I mean, we're super lucky with the variety of partners from Alpenglow to, you know, Tahoe Nordic Search and Rescue, other organizations. And then, frankly, just the volunteers. I mean, the number of people that it takes to put on an event like this, especially over 3 days, not to mention, and I absolutely have to mention, our spouses, Brendan's parents.
Yeah.
You know, friends and family, everybody that we rope into helping out with us. We couldn't do it without them.
I love it so much. Your website is pretty comprehensive as far as supporting runners, their families, when they are coming to this event, because like you said, it's an experience. It's not, and it happens to usually be during a holiday. So it's like, it's usually around Father's Day in the United States. So at least one of the races usually is. So you have created, and I just wanted to go through it, some of the opportunities for people to cash in on when you're entering into the community of the Broken Arrow Sky Race. One is you have training plans, I believe.
Yeah.
Trails and tarmac. Is that still?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a number. I mean, there's a few things that I think are worth noting to that fact. One is the training plans. I think the other is that, you know, for example, this past weekend, we had one of our training runs down in the Bay Area on Mount Diablo. We do a New Year's training run. We do this training run. We do a training run in partnership with San Francisco Running Company that's coming up on the 20th of April. We typically do a fall course preview, which is actually on the Broken Arrow course. Usually, I think somewhere around October. Mm-hmm. My point with this is that we do a number of things throughout the year for a couple of reasons. One is to familiarize people with us, build trust with the community, but also to sort of ease people into it. Because if you look at the Broken Arrow videos or website, I get that it can be a little bit intimidating. It's also why we added the 11K was, you know, we very much viewed that as how can we create another event within the weekend that is more accessible to people, that, I mean, is sort of the, I will say, gateway experience to people who aren't necessarily, you know, accomplished ultra runners. They might have run some 5Ks and 10Ks, but they know that they want to get into trail running. They love Tahoe. They want to be a part of this thing. And, you know, what we see is that people come and do that and then, you know, come back the next year and run the VK or the 23K or something like that. Likewise, the other part of that is, like I said before, the kids race. You know, we want to be inspiring the next generation of young trail runners in the US. And, you know, we've had a number of kids who started running in the kids race and now we're running in the grown-ups races. We've had some kids. There's all of these super talented, like Nordic ski kids up there who,
cool.
Every year we get some, like, you know, youngster that shows up who's never run a trail race and then ends up running in the top 10 in the men's or women's field in the VK. And you're like, what? This person's like just out of middle school. So,
yeah. And that's something that I've always loved about ultra running is that your podium can have so many different age ranges. Your backup pack can have so many age ranges. Like it really, there's something for everyone. And you guys have made sure of that. You've mentioned the training runs. I just wanted to put out there that they're on Ultra Sign Up. They are free. As of yesterday, there was 67 spots still available for the April 20th, 2024. It's at 8 a.m. That's with the San Francisco Run Company. Can anyone, even if you're not signed up for Broken Arrow?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, this is, you know, I mean, if someone was cynical, they would say it's about marketing, but it is, I say this very genuinely, this is about us building a community of people.
Yeah.
You know, we love these events. It was the first one of them that we did was one of these New Year's runs. And I had a running group that I had started down in the Bay Area. We did it as a partnership between that group and Broken Arrow. And I had literally expected like 25 people to show up on New Year's morning at 8 a.m. and like 150 people showed up. So I think we realized pretty quickly we were onto something there. And so we continue doing them. It's Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
There's no shame.
A little bit rough getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to drive down to the Bay Area, but you know, hey.
Oh yeah, because you're not in the Bay Area anymore.
No, I live up in Nevada City. I'm 530.
You woohoo! You're close to us with that heavy fire insurance.
No comment on that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's okay to have a business to run a business and also have really good values and investments in the community. Like it for me, for us, I think it's okay for you guys to be a business, but also be like really awesome, amazing humans behind that. So I think both can be true and you can do amazing things with both. We also, I noticed you guys have your 2021 online seminars are still on your YouTube, which for me, I think the pandemic has, during that, we all got really savvy on watching people online and it brings comfort to hear people's experiences. So those are up there. You guys have a mobile app, which I kind of cruised. That was really cool. There's also a plan your trip tab, which you'll have things for people who aren't running to do while your person is running, things for, you know, housing and events and what kind of the village looks like during the race. So I thought that was really handy too. I'm such a planner. I have 4 kids. Like if someone wants to help me by telling me what to do, that's free or cheap or something we can do around the area, it is so helpful. So as a mom, I really appreciate that tab a lot.
Well, and I mean, I think that these are the things that we are constantly thinking about. You know, I in particular, am really sensitized. And I owe my brother a lot of credit for this with, you know, his 2 teenage kids is, you know, thinking about new and creative things that we can do for families when they're there so that it's not, you know, especially for those years when it is on Father's Day weekend, you know, a lot of families are coming up, et cetera, and they're doing it because, yay, this is Dad's Father's Day gift. But then the family's, you know, stuck standing around the village. But between the kids' race and, you know, other things, we're constantly looking for new ways to make the event more inclusive with the whole family.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think just chatting about what that website offers alone, it kind of gives the community the insight behind everything that goes through the minds of Broken Arrow and the experiences you are trying to create. And there's a lot of opportunities for everyone to have a really successful race day. Really appreciate it.
Oh, no, it's all right. Like I said, it's our pleasure. We do this because we love doing it. I think if, you know, as you alluded, we are a for-profit company that runs the race. But I think that if we actually looked at what we make on an hourly basis, that would be a really bad calculation to do and kind of do our heads in. But like I said, it's baked into who we are, really.
Yeah. And as speaking to kind of the community involvement, one of the other things that we were interested to learn more about, I think, during this hour was the fact that this year you formed an advisory council. And if you want to just kind of walk us through what that is, and it sounds like a great way to just bring in that sort of outside community influence and help guide you, make sure that you know what the community is looking for and all of that is sort of, where did that whole idea come from?
Yeah, sure. So a couple of things. I mean, you know, we do some of the things that a lot of race directors do. We do a very in-depth post-race survey. You know, I mean, like, we are constantly looking for feedback from people. But I think one of the things that we realized, and again, I've been in the sport, I guess, 21 years now, the sport is changing really, really quickly. You know, when I started, I think I'm going to get these numbers wrong, but I think when I started in 2002, there were something like 14,000 ultra runners in the US. You know, the last time I checked, and this was some years back still, you know, there was 87,000. And I guarantee you, we were way beyond that at this point. And, you know, Dean Parnassus had a lot to do with that. Ward to Run, Barkley, you know, all of these things have contributed to more interest in the sport. And people are always looking for new and exciting things to do. And, I think one of the things that we realized is, you know, as one of the largest races in the country, we really have an obligation to do it right. And hopefully, and I really hope this doesn't sound self-serving, try to be role models and innovators so that other races go, oh, they're onto something there. Maybe that's something that we should think about doing as well. And I think, you know, in particular right now, there's a lot of things that are going on in society that are impacting the sport. And we want to make sure that, again, sort of rooting back to what I was talking about creating an inclusive event, you know, we want to make sure that we're thinking about how we make the race more safe and welcoming and inclusive for all runners. That means BIPOC runners, you know, and increasing ethnic diversity. It means mothers and women and mothers with, you know, especially with families. How are we creating a race environment that is supportive to them? You know, it's thinking about the LGBTQIA plus community and trans and non-binary athletes. How do we deal with those changes that are happening in society? Like, these are big questions, and they're controversial questions. And, you know, I think to an extent, we're trying to lead from the front. And then likewise, I think the other one is, how can we make the race more inclusive for adaptive athletes, that is to say athletes with physical disabilities, et cetera. Like, all of these things are things that we are thinking of. And, you know, I mean, you know, to be clear, we're not going to address all of these big issues tomorrow, right? I mean, the advisory committee that we have pulled together is about 10 athletes. Actually, literally, and by design, only two of them are elite runners. Although we are super psyched to have Patty O'Leary, who North Face athlete, you know, and Joelle Vaught, who's old school. She's been, you know, running at the top of the sport for a long, long time. We're super excited to have them, but we're very excited to have Myrna Valerio and, yeah, just a bunch of other athletes that represent those other categories that, you know, I mean, look, Brennan and I are both a couple of white middle-aged guys, and we think that there's a lot of sensitivities and a lot of perspectives that those folks can bring to the table. You know, one of the things that was really interesting for us was hearing how different groups talk about the barriers, right? The barriers facing, you know, minority athletes may be very different from the barriers facing LGBTQ athletes. And so really understanding how all of those issues interrelate in the ways that we may be able to address them is really important to us.
That's fantastic. And you're also partnered with Solomon.
Solomon has been an amazing partner from day one with this.
Are they like helping you with this council as well, and sort of bringing that, you know, kind of sentiment, you know, from their business into you along those same lines?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I think the partnership has been very symbiotic from day one. I mean, I think they have obviously provided a ton of support, and, you know, not just financial support, but sort of operational support and, you know, PR support and so forth from day one. But it's been a symbiotic relationship. I think that there are things that we have brought to them and helped innovate, you know, and sort of incubate a broken arrow that they are now saying, hey, other races we're involved with, have you ever thought about? Like, so, as I said, that's kind of the synergies that we're trying to create in the community. And likewise, I mean, we are pretty open with, you know, we take calls with great frequency, in particular Brendan, from other race directors calling and saying, hey, we're thinking through this issue. You know, can you spare a half hour, an hour to talk to us? And yeah, so we do that. You know, I mean, we've been pretty proactive. In particular, I've been very involved with bringing doping control to the sport. So there's a lot of different pieces that we're constantly, like I said, that we're constantly thinking about with this. But how do we continue to move our sport forward in positive ways, both on the competitive side and on the recreation side?
Yeah. And it's got to be a tough tug of war in a way, because,
The thing is, I think we have to get beyond this idea that you that it's either this or that. They look, the people that are at the finish line cheering on our back of the pack runners are a lot of our elite runners.
Mm.
I mean, Patty, you know, and again, one of the reasons that we chose Patty to be involved with the advisory council is he absolutely aligns with our vision of community building and like the amount of positive stuff he has done in the trail running community. I just can't say more good things about him. He's, yeah. And really all of the people that we have brought in to the group are really committed both within their own communities, but as I said, bringing some of those sensitivities to our table.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, it's great to have elite athletes associated with you that are looking to bring that grassroots still kind of up. Like you're saying, like you may have kids, you may have first time ultra runners or trail runners, like they've got just as much right to be out there as any elite athlete. And being able to have that kind of community working together, you know.
So well, and there's a lot to learn from one another, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think one of the things that I always appreciated back in the day that some of the, and again, Scott Jurek was a great role model in this respect, was, you know, you listen to somebody like him talk about running hundreds and he's like, yeah, you know, I'm out there working my backside off for 15 hours. The folks at the back are out there working just as hard. They're not moving as fast, but they're working just as hard to move the pace they are going. The difference is they're doing it for twice as long.
Right.
So I think there's, again, to this point about trying to bring some of those old school tradition, culture, and values, that's what we were going after. That respect in our community flowing both from, you know, sort of run-of-the-mill regular schmoes like me to the elites, and no question, we admire what they do, but likewise, that admiration that flows in the other direction doesn't have to be an either or.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. So when you have the council now formed, how often do you meet? Kind of, you know,
yes.
What's the agenda, you know, as you go? Like, what's the cadence like?
Yeah, so the group is meeting on a quarterly basis. We actually had our first meeting last weekend, and I think we were a bit ambitious with our agenda, so we're actually in the process of scheduling another first quarter meeting. But generally speaking, we're envisioning sort of a quarterly cadence of meetings. And like I said, I mean, there's a couple of things. One is creating another forum for structured feedback to us in addition to what we already hear through social and through our surveys, but another structured mechanism for collecting, you know, general feedback on the race. But then also, I think the group will be looking at specific issues, you know, sort of aligning with those, you know, like I said, BIPOC inclusion, non-binary trans, LGBTQIA, women and mothers, adaptive athletes, all of those. And again, I want to be super clear, we're not going to be able to get to all of those, and certainly not in the depth that we might eventually like to address those all at once. But the advisory committee or advisory council will be helping us set that agenda for how we prioritize those.
Yeah, that's it's definitely a long-term thing, it sounds like. I mean, but you've got an established brand, you've got the community involvement, you've got the council now, you've got Solomon, other sponsors, all of that. I assume they're all on board. And yeah. I was kind of curious too, like as you start developing these things out, I'm wondering if those large sponsors can kind of look at you as like an incubator of sorts. They're taking those ideas I think you mentioned and sort of pushing them out a little bit and suggesting things to other races, like, hey, like, look at what, you know, Broken Arrow's done. Maybe you can model some things as well. And I mean, that gets all of those standards out there.
I think that's exactly it. I mean, I think we want to set a high standard, set a high bar, and we hope that others will see the things that we do and I want to say copy it, but you know, copy it. And you know what, ultimately what that will do is create more events that are really thinking because they see it, they see it appealing to people, right? I'm not necessarily like a big market drive everything kind of guy. That's not where I come from, but But it is true, right? You know, when I got into the sport, it was a very different sport, right? Every race out there, like if you had a race that had more than 400 people, that was shocking. There was literally two or three of those in the US. And most races was, you know, the race director and his spouse or one of his friends standing there at the finish line holding a piece of, like, you know, yellow caution tape. That was your finish line, right? They were decidedly low-key affairs, is what I'm getting at. And like I said, you know, I think that we've upped the game a lot in terms of the hoopla and creating this immersive experience over the course of 3 and now actually 4 days with an event that we have on Thursday. But I think that a lot of these things that are relatively easy to do, you know, so we hope others will sort of follow along. I mean, yeah, that's the best way to put it.
Well, and I think for someone who has some tenure in the sport, in the communities, it's those people that we need right now to be making a difference so that all the communities can come forward and make a new one. It's not to kick anyone out. No one's ideas were bad. We're just changing. The world's getting bigger. We're more inclusive. So I think having your tenure and kind of knowing where you've come from, it does give everyone a leg up from Broken Arrow to kind of, like, we see where we've come from and we see where we want to go. So let's just go there. But it does take time. And, you know, there are obstacles, personal and financial obstacles in the way of everyone. So I see, like, when I saw the advisory council, I'm like, who's doing this? This is so cool. And I know as far as me getting in touch with you, you're a very easy person to, like, call and have an hour conversation on the phone with. So I'm going to guess that that is the same type of baseline that you give for the advisory council. Like, I know we're meeting quarterly, but if there's a thing, come talk to us. And so I think that, you know.
Well, and frankly, we invite that from all of our participants. And we have quite a few participants who email us after the race and say, hey, really love that you did this. Hey, here's a thing that wasn't as awesome with, you know, maybe something to think about for next year. Like, we value that input. And as much as it's great to get the positive feedback, ultimately much more valuable to us is the critical feedback, especially if there's a, you know, it's put forward in a sort of constructive manner. And most folks do. I mean, most folks get what it is that we're trying to do. I think, you know, the other thing is we're very big on the concept of locally owned and operated races, right? You know, Broken Arrow contributes significantly to the Lake Tahoe, you know, economy on race weekend. And, you know, I mean, we really value our relationship with Palisades and with the, you know, obviously nonprofits we work with out there, but also the businesses and hotels and restaurants in the area. You know, we also want to make sure that, I mean, one of the things that I would hate to see is if, you know, all races became sort of homogenized and looked alike. I think one of the things I really, you know, not every race wants to be, nor should be, a 3-day trail running festival with all of this other stuff going on. I love the fact that there are still races that, you know, that you can sign up, you know, a few days before the event, get in, go do it, you know, where it is still that low-key race experience. And I love the fact that there's big hoopla races in Europe and elsewhere that, you know, people in Western states, you know, it bums me out that the odds of getting in are so low these days, because it's an amazing experience that I think everybody should experience. But, like, I love the fact that we're getting that kind of diversity in the types of events that are out there now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is nice, like you said, just to be able to go on Ultra Sign Up. I'm like, hey, I feel like doing a race this weekend, and just find something local and boom, do it, you know? And then, you know, we have these various kind of, you know, small races, sometimes with no entry fee as well, that are just sort of run by a dedicated set of folks. And yeah, so, but then, yeah, on the other hand, like, getting these big experiences, which I, like I told you, I think early on or before the show started, I got to get up there and do that that vertical at some point in the next few
years. I should note that our swag bags, Jessica,
they're legendary.
They are legendary. Yes.
That's awesome.
As are our raffles at our training runs. I think we gave away about $3,000 worth of gear, including a Garmin watch, Salomon shoes, Lakey poles, Jolbo sunglasses, et cetera, at our training run this last weekend. And then we'll do the same thing at the run at San Francisco Running Company. So those are a couple of things that we are well known for. I think the value of our swag bags tends to run around $400. So you get a pretty good deal on you out of your race entry fee.
For sure. Oh man. Well, we're coming towards the end, but I did have one final thing I want to ask you about, and just in terms of being a race director, and you've said like how intense it is, you know, to be a race director. So I just kind of had just off the top of my head, kind of just curious, like, give me an overview of like the day in the life of an RD putting on something like this. Like, what types of things are you dealing with? How do you organize your day? Because I got to imagine it's all interrupt driven a lot of the time. And what's it like?
So the good news is that Brendan and I are we have very complementary skill sets. He is an introvert. I am an extrovert. He is extremely detailed oriented. I'm sort of a big picture guy. He is smart. I'm sometimes not. I got last year, but one of the things that I do is I run the finish line for the VK on Friday. And yeah, I wore my normal glasses and stood on the snow for 6 hours. So by Saturday afternoon, about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I was snowblind and had to go sit in a totally dark apartment all the rest of the night and get back up at 3 o'clock in the morning and get back to race directing. So we get up there a couple of days before the race. Brendan lives in Tahoe. I live an hour down the road. But so there's a couple of days of prep leading up to the event. And then the day of is, the good news is it's really pretty well sorted. We have, we have a consistent team of folks that are like registration leaders year after year. They know what they're doing. It's more a function of troubleshooting things that pop up along the way. Now, that said, one of the things that pops up, and Jessica referenced this before, is weather. Last year, we had like 85% of the course under snow. And so literally all of the things that needed to get to the finish line of the VK that I run could only go as far as the top of the Siberia lift. And it's about another half mile around the back and up to the top. And so we literally, I think it was like 5 or 6 trips up and down the thing, carrying literally probably a ton and a half of gear, and 4 or 5 of us literally just making trip after trip. And Steve Hammond, who's our sort of course manager and himself badass obstacle course racer, and this guy is one of the toughest people I've ever met. At the end of the day, when he was wrecked, I was like, hey, this is great. I am perfectly entitled to be wrecked. If Steve's wrecked, I can be wrecked. That's fine. So yeah, it's everything from lugging stuff around to talking to people and troubleshooting issues as they arise. And then, the other thing is, like I said, we stand at the finish line, ringing the bell. We stand at the start line, ring the bell as people leave town. And then as every runner comes in, I'm sitting there, either Brendan or I are sitting there ringing the bell. And actually, every year I end up with a gigantic bruise across my ribs from ringing this idiotic bell. So
I love it so much, because there's a lot of, when you're, event planning, there's a lot of things that happen. The day will be what it is. There's not anything, unless it's like running supplies out, there's no big thing that you can control that day. It is what it is. And so you get to sit back and relax with some of it, barring there's no medical emergencies or anything like that. So I'm glad that you guys have that complementary strength where you get to actually enjoy some of your events. I know that they don't always start out like that, where you don't have your team, you don't have that. So I'm really glad you're in a place where you get to enjoy all the work. You get to see those people finish, with dogs and babies and tears and happiness, and even with a bruise. I'm glad
that said,
yeah,
we get curveballs thrown at us every year. We had one, we had you know, as I said, snow is actually like the least of our problems because we know it's going to be there.
Yeah.
and we can adapt and deal with that sort of proactively. I think the things that are bigger challenges for us is, you know, 1 year we had a lightning storm blow in. And of course, we're not, you know, we are deeply concerned about the well-being of our runners. Their safety will always come first. We're not sending people up into a lightning storm. That would be irresponsible. And so there's things like that. You know, we have had other years where a couple more, I think it was last, not this last year, the year before, we weren't able to use the tram to bring runners down from the vertical K, right? So, you know, folks were pretty understanding. The trade-off for us being able to run the BK was, hey, guy, and we, you know, alerted folks before they took off, hey, just so that you know, you're going to have to walk back down because the tram isn't running. It's not safe to run the tram.
Yeah.
And again, we adapt, we adjust. And, you know, again, it's, I think because we've built goodwill and trust with the community, they come along for that ride with us.
I love it so much. And I can't believe an hour has almost gone by. So do you have any last minute things that you want our audience to know about Broken Arrow or anything you're excited about?
Well, can't you tell? I'm excited about everything. That's that's like my thing. No. Yeah. No, really just super, super delighted to be here. Always love talking about Broken Arrow. As I said, it's something we love doing. We always say that Broken Arrow is our Christmas, New Year's, our birthdays, et cetera, all rolled into one for us. It is just a ton of fun to do and genuinely like an honor to do it on behalf of our community. And, you know, it's even better when we see people having such an amazing time.
Yeah.
I will direct people also, because you mentioned the YouTube channel. We have some great videos featuring Myrna Valerio, Adrian Ballinger, and some other remarkable athletes that we've done in the past. I would refer to folks to those as well. They really tell a story of, you know, regular people doing amazing things. And to me, that's what the trail and ultra scene in the U.S. has always been about.
I love that. And we love stories here, obviously, not just the interview part, but the people behind the interview. And so we'll make sure to cruise over to your YouTube. If you guys are listening to this later, go to our Facebook page. We'll make sure that we're sharing some of those YouTube stories. I think I've seen a couple of them, so I'm going to go deep dive and see what's on there as well. So we'll get those shared. Before we go, we do something to get to know our guests a little bit better. Well, we do a rapid fire questionnaire. I'm going to ask you a question and you just answer it the best you can. Are you ready?
Shoot.
Okay. Road or trail running?
No. Trail.
Oh, well, you know.
Duh.
You did run your very first race as a half marathon on the road.
Oh, right? No. I've run a lot of road stuff, but as I tell everybody, a 50K on the trail is much, much, much easier than a road marathon.
I'm right there with you. And then do you have a bucket list race or adventure?
Ooh, I would love to do at least the JMT at some point. My wife and I went and did, and I highly recommend if anybody's interested in learning more. We did the Haute Route a few years back, which starts in Chamonix and runs across the Alps to Zermatt. It's about 150 miles, basically, across the French and Swiss Alps. So that was pretty epic. And I would actually consider doing that again as well. That was pretty amazing.
I love that. Go back for some more. And then after you have a big adventure or race, what are you eating?
So I'm vegetarian, and I would say that pizza is pretty high up there on the list.
Love it so much. I had pizza for dinner. I love pizza so much, but good pizza, you know, if you put in a big effort, you gotta have the good stuff.
I do homemade.
Oh, but after a race, you're not cooking, right?
Also true.
You're like, if a race has pizza at the end, I'm signing up for it.
But Fireside Pizza at Palisades is pretty epic. And in fact, that's where we go for our sort of post race everyday debrief. And so, you know, they're also have been our food partner over the years, but also it's where we as the race director team sort of end up.
Everyone knows where to find him. You just gave yourself away. And then this is the most controversial one, cats or dog?
Oh, you missed him because my wife got home. Fortunately, my wife got home right before we went on. Dogs. We have a big white crazy boxer who's totally deaf and a geriatric pug who is adorable.
I love it so much. Do they come with you to Broken Arrow?
No. But no, they would be a royal pain. But when I was training more for my search and rescue fitness test last year, I did all of my training with my 25-pound pug on my back.
That is so cool. Well, right before we leave, last episode, we announced we have a new partnership. It's with Flip Mitts. They're really cool. They're these mitts. They're absorbent. They have SPF 50 on them. They're washable, odor-resistant, hypoallergenic, and eco-friendly. You can have them as a little thing. You can have them as your little hand. And then you can also have them as wrist warmers. We're so lucky. This is a small company who trusted us, their brand, and we actually are going to be doing a giveaway for a pair. So stay tuned to our social medias. We're going to be giving away a pair, which is really awesome. I love them so much. Like, I use them for typing at home, running when I'm doing that. I've used them when I'm driving. Stroller runs, they're really nice as well because you can keep your hands cold or warm. And then I get hot. Four children later, I get very warm. So then I can shed a layer as well. So thanks, Flip Mitts. But sadly, we're at the end of the episode. If you guys want to hang out with us a little bit longer, you can join us for the post show. It's as little as $1 a month for our Patreon. And if you don't like the reoccurring fee, you can throw us a Venmo. It's at the Mile 99 Interview. And that's how you find us across all social media platforms. It's at the Mile 99 Interview. We love getting tagged in your guys' experiences and stories. And so we are going to shout out a couple people in our congrats corner that we are so excited. We're happy. We've been watching these stories. So take it away, Greg.
Yeah. So first up, we've got Cole Watson. So fantastic runner from this area, well-known name, top 10 at Western States last year, automatic entry this year. Can't wait to see him coming through ALT when I'm over there doing ham radio overnight shift, by the way. Looking forward to it. And he has just signed with Brooks. So very exciting news for him just in the last couple of days, Brooks Trail Team. I also happened to notice that as I was cruising the entrant list for the Rattlesnake Dick 50K, presented by our friend Martin Sango, RD, at North Fork Clothing, that one Mr. Cole Watson has also signed up. So I will plan on seeing the back of him about 5 feet past the start line. And then I'm sure I'll meet him coming at me before I hit the turnaround for sure. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he does there. I'm sure it's going to be a great day. And we also have another congrats, I believe.
Yeah, you have to peep his shoes and peep at Brooks fit, see what's going on. Jasmine Paris, the first ever woman Barkley finisher. I don't think we could end an episode with a better story. She's done the Barkley a few times. She had 99 seconds left. She finished, though. 5 finishes this year at Barkley, and I heard it was gnarly. One of the hardest years, weather aside, for logistics for the route. We had some locals out there who've usually done more and didn't, but that's just what happens. But the attention this go around was on Jasmine. Women have really been sweeping the past couple weeks in ultra running, and we just gotta be so excited about that. So congratulations, Jasmine, for a Barkley finish. That's crazy. Love it so much. Yeah. So we are at the end of the show. Greg, do you want to send everyone off?
I will. See you on the trails.